when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Cho. Great to be with you again on Straight Talk. Some of you have been asking about our teaching series. Typically when I teach, I do a series of 4 to 8, 9, 10 messages, and we make those available in a cover with all the CDs, the full length of the message. So if you want to order the entire series that you hear on this radio program, then you can go to our website, www.straighttalkchicago.org, and email us ordering the series, or you can always call our telephone number at 773-585-3300 and ask for the entire series. Typically, we give the name of the series at the beginning of the message and the message title as well. That way you can listen to the entire series uninterrupted and get the full scope of that teaching. So get ready to listen and hear the word with open hearts.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Tonight, everyone, Pastor Mark is going to continue with his series called Habits, Disciplines That Make a Difference. And tonight's message is called Prayer and Fasting. Our text for today will be found in the book of Matthew. We'll be in chapter 6. Now let's join Pastor Mark for tonight's Straight Talk.
Today I want to talk to you about the discipline or the habit of prayer. Here's what I know. Whatever habits you've been practicing for a while, they have determined who you are today. In fact, you are the sum of the habits that you have been practicing over the last few years. And your future will reflect the habits that you currently practice. Your finances will reflect it. Your body will reflect it. Your spirit will reflect it. Your marriage will reflect it. Your relationships will reflect in a few years whatever habits you are practicing now. So it's my desire that you get into some spiritual practices now that can put you at a whole different level in a few years from now. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it talks about the habits of healthy believers, what the early church practiced. And they practiced the habit of the Word, getting into the Word, the apostles' teaching. They practiced the habit of communion, fellowship. We talked about it last week. They practiced the habit of prayer. We'll talk about it this week. And they practice the habit of worship, which we'll talk about next week. So today I want to talk to you about prayer. How to get in the habit of praying and what it really means to pray. And how to take your prayer life to a whole different level than where you're at today. You know, prayer is an interesting thing. We don't learn about prayer just by having a book on prayer. Prayer is a little bit more caught than it is taught, right? I heard of a couple Christians were talking together and they were discussing what is the best position to pray. And one fellow was talking about folding his hands. And he said, well, I really pray better when I fold my hands. I can't get into things. And it's just really a position of adoration. Someone else, no, it's about getting on your knees. You see, you have to get on your knees there. And that's the way you pray. And another one said, no, it's about being laying on the floor prostrate with your hands straight out. That's the best way. Well, there was a guy listening who happened to be a telephone repairman, and he says, listen, the best prayer I ever prayed was when I fell off and was hanging by my heels upside down 40 feet in the air. That's the best prayer I ever prayed in my whole life. And so for him, it was hanging upside down. He really learned how to pray. We thought of teaching people how to pray and hanging a few people upside down this morning, but we thought, now we'll take a different route than that. You may have heard me tell this story, but when my son was about 5 years old, Josiah, I was trying to teach him how to worship and pray. And so I decided to pray next to our bed and teach him a little bit about worship and prayer. And so I said to Josiah, Josiah, I want you to do whatever you see me doing. I want you to learn from what Dad does. So I knelt beside his bed, and he looked at me, so he knelt down as well. And I put my hands like this. He put his hands like this. And I said, you just kind of watch what I do, and you flow with what I'm doing, okay? He said, all right, Dad. So I started worshiping God, and I raised my hands like this, and so he kind of raised his hands like this, and I started saying, Lord, you are so good and powerful and good and glorious and sovereign, and there's no one like unto you, God. You are infinite and full of mercy. And I kind of forgot he was there. And after about 2 or 3 minutes of that, I feel a tug at my arm. Dad, Dad. And I look down, and he says, Dad, and tell him he's so handsome. And I said, and Lord, you are so handsome also. But you know, prayer is a little bit more caught than it is taught. And in this passage right here in Matthew chapter 6, what we find is we find Jesus teaching his close disciples what it means to pray. Now, you don't see it in this passage, but in a parallel passage, Luke chapter 11, we understand or discover the context of this request. It tells us in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, that it came about that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John, referring to John the Baptizer, also taught his disciples. So the context was they saw a couple of disciples saw Jesus praying. And they observed his interaction with God the Father. How passionate he was. And how he spoke to God the Father. And how intense it was. And how intimate it was. And so after he'd got up from praying, one of his disciples came and said, Jesus, we don't know how to pray. But we want to pray like you pray. So could you please teach us? And that's the context of what Jesus was teaching his disciples. He was teaching them how to pray. And so I want to start, first of all, in verse 5 and 6 and 7 tells us a couple of things not to do when you're praying. And then Jesus gets into what to do when you're praying. Notice that he says in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6, he says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. So the first mistake we make when praying, there's three main mistakes. He says, avoid these. Number one, write this down. Don't pray to be seen by others. If the only time you pray is when you're in public, we got a problem here. If you just pray so that others can see you pray, Jesus said, guess what? You've already received your reward because really, you're not praying to God, you're praying to others. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting or a prayer gathering when you felt like someone was talking more to you when they were praying than they were talking to God? Or giving their opinion about something, and you almost say, wait, wait, this is to God, not to us. And so he says, hey, don't just pray in public. If you pray in public but never pray in private, there's a problem. Secondly, verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. The second thing is not don't just pray to be seen by others, but the second mistake that we make is that we neglect our private prayer time. So don't neglect your private time of prayer. He says when you do pray, guess what? Go in your house. I think the King James Version says go in your closet, close your door, and pray. When I was young, I had read that verse as a teenager, and I thought, okay, I'm going in my closet. I remember being in my grandma's house and went in the closet, closed the door, and I prayed in my closet. So the Bible says, go in your closet and pray. But the point that he's making is you don't have to go in a closet. The point that he's making is that you need to pray at times when no one else can see you pray. And no one else even knows you're praying. But you are praying to God Almighty because it's between you and God. And he says that when God sees you pray privately, he will reward you and honor you because you're not praying for other people to hear. You're praying for God to hear. So you don't have to go in your closet. I don't want a husband to arrive at home and say, honey, where are you?
Over here.
Well, where are you?
In the closet.
Oh, there you are. What are you doing in the closet? Praying. The point is, pray in private. And you can find those moments and times to pray in private, to have your own time with God. It's great to pray in a prayer meeting. It's great to pray in church. It's great to pray with other people. But there's something about praying privately that touches the heart of God as well. And then he says in verse 7, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words." He says, hey, the other mistake we made in praying is don't confuse wordiness and repetition with effective prayer. Some people think because they repeat a lot or talk a lot that their prayer is better. Jesus says, no, don't just babble. Oh, God, please, talk. Sometimes the best prayers are the shorter prayers, the prayers that come from the heart. So don't make the mistake of thinking that if you talk a lot or repeat something a lot, babble a lot, that God is actually hearing your prayers better than when you talk from the heart straight, humbly, directly, and truthfully to God. Now, in this context, he says this, verse 8, "Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask." Remember, God knows what you need even before you ask in prayer, but God still wants you to ask. That's the thing. I run into some people who say, I'm not going to pray because God already knows what I need. God already knows my mind. He knows the future. Why should I pray? Because God wants you to pray. And because God honors prayer. And because if you ask, there's something about verbalizing your petition. Something about mixing your faith with your words that touches the heart of God and releases a response from the throne of God. And so then he says this. He says, "But when you pray, this then is how you should pray." This then is how you should pray. Now notice, and then he teaches them a small, short prayer. Now if you're like me, you grew up knowing this prayer. You've heard it since you were a little kid. I grew up in a school that before class started, one of the kids would get up and the teacher would assign it to them. And one child would say the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Our Father. And then another person would say the Hail Mary. So every day when I was in grade school, the class would start with the Our Father and the Hail Mary and would end with the Our Father and the Hail Mary. And all the kids knew the prayer. This was in Spain, so obviously we'd say it in Spanish, but we all knew the prayer, and we would repeat the prayer just like maybe children today repeat the Pledge of Allegiance. And sometimes we do it mindlessly. Sometimes, how many of you know you can know words but not necessarily know the meaning of those words?
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Prayer and Fasting, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Habits, Disciplines That Make a Difference. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Luke, chapter 11. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Prayer and Fasting.
So you see, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. How many of you have said the prayer like that sometimes? How many of you know you can almost say the prayer without even thinking about it? In fact, some of you were brought up in traditions where you were taught to repeat this prayer over and over and even count how many times you had prayed this prayer. Because the idea was that if you pray this prayer a lot of times, it's going to gain favor with God. But obviously, Jesus was not teaching us that, because he just got through saying, I don't want you to repeat things mindlessly. I don't want you to babble. I don't want you to just keep repeating things over. And so what was Jesus teaching us? Was he teaching us a prayer to be prayed? I don't believe so. I believe Jesus was teaching us a pattern to pray, not a prayer to be prayed. Do you understand the difference? Because he says actually, and pray in this manner, or follow this pattern, or learn this format. And when you pray, it's not about repeating the Our Father over and over. It's about following the pattern of the Our Father when you pray. There's a big difference. So, I'm going to teach you how to pray the Our Father like you've never prayed it before. I'm not going to teach you the Our Father because you already know it. But I'm going to teach you the pattern of the Our Father. Break it down, and this is the pattern that Jesus was teaching us. So, the first part of the Our Father starts with this. Our Father, come on, say it all together, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let's stop right there. Okay, point number one, you are praying this. You are praying the first thing that he emphasizes is our position before God Almighty. I believe you received an outline in your bulletins. You have that? Okay, you can follow along and take notes on that. The first thing that he emphasizes is our position before God the Father. Notice he starts out, Jesus could address God in a lot of different ways. He could say, Almighty God of the universe. He could say, Judge of the nations. He could say, Sovereign Lord. But notice that he teaches us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven. You see, the way that we view ourselves before God often dictates the way that we're going to pray. And I believe that Jesus was emphasizing the father-son or father-daughter relationship in prayer because as believers, here's what happens. Everybody is a creation of God, but not everybody's a son and daughter of God. The Bible tells us that in order to be a son or daughter of God, you must be born again. And when we come into a relationship of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives and allowing the Holy Spirit to come inside of us, the Bible says that that day we are born again. And at that moment, something changes inside of us. It's not just the God of the universe, but now we are sons and daughters of God. And in Galatians, it tells us, Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the third person, the triune God, into your hearts. And the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. The Spirit inside of you, the Holy Spirit, calls out through your vocal cords, Abba, Father. You say, well, what does Abba mean? Well, it's not a band in the 70s. Not that Abba. Abba is the familiar form of Father. It's a way of saying Father, but really it's an intimate, familiar form, which in essence translates to Daddy. It's almost like saying the Spirit of God inside of you cries out, Daddy! Well, why would he say that? I believe that Jesus was teaching us we have this access to God as not a distant, stoic, detached, negligent father, but a caring, loving, intimate, engaged daddy. And he says, you can approach the God of the universe in this familiar way, knowing that you're a son and daughter. And if you're a son and daughter, you can be assured that God is listening. So our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed? Yeah, hallowed. Well, what in the world does hallowed mean? Now, some of you have prayed that for years and have no idea what you just prayed. You know where the word hallowed means? The word hallowed means holy or sanctified be your name. To hallow something means to set it apart in a category all of its own. It's where we get the word holy from, hallowed. You say, for example, Halloween. And why do we say Halloween? Because it was the evening before All Saints Day. And so it was the holy evening before All Saints Day. And that's why we call it Halloween. The word hallow means to set apart a category all unto its own to say this name, the name of God, is like no other name. There's no name that comes close to it. We set it apart. We identify it as unique. We elevate it. It sounds a lot like praise, doesn't it? Our Father, we're in relationship with you. Your name, the first thing we do is we set your name apart. Now, the question that we ask ourselves then is, what is God's name? You say, well, Pastor Mark, what is God's name? What do you mean? Well, what is God's name after all? You say, well, I call him God. That's good, but that is sort of a generic form of deity. And sometimes we call him Lord. That's good because it refers to a master. But what is God's name? What is the name that God calls himself by? Well, a good place to figure that out is Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Do you remember when Moses had the burning bush experience? God speaks to Moses out of a burning bush and says, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and I want you to set my people free. Now, Moses was terrified by that whole idea. And so he says, okay, God, but if the people ask me who has sent you, what God has sent you, what am I going to tell them? What is your name? Do you remember what Moses says? What God says to Moses? It says in verse 3:13, now they may say, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent you. I am? You say, well, now I'm a little even more confused. So Moses goes and says, I am who I am has sent you. But what was God saying? God was saying, I am ever present. I am transcendent. This is about my presence. This is about my essence. This is about my being. I have always been. I will always be. I am here the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have no beginning. I have no end. I am who I am. And then in verse 17, God calls himself Lord. He says, the Lord. He refers to himself as the Lord. And that particular word, Lord, is translated, it's a Hebrew word, and it means Yahweh. Have you ever heard the word Yahweh? Okay, Yahweh. In our English Bibles, oftentimes, if you look at the Bible, it'll say Jehovah, right? Most of us. This word appears many times in the Old Testament. Actually, the word Yahweh, and sometimes in our English Bible says Jehovah, it occurs 5,321 times in the Old Testament. But actually, the translation Jehovah is not a very good translation. Because in the original Hebrew, it was Yahweh. But in the 6th or 7th century, about the 6th or 7th century, the translators decided, since Yahweh was hard to pronounce, they put the vowels of Adonai, which is another name for God, with Yahweh, and formed an English version that says Jehovah. Which is not really, it's sort of an incorrect translation, but hey, God won't get offended if you call him Jehovah. He understands what you're talking about, I think. God is a very secure God. But this word Yahweh occurs a whole bunch of times in the Old Testament. And the interesting thing about the name Yahweh is that God, 8 different times in the Old Testament, uses compounded forms of Yahweh. In other words, you'll read in the Bible and it says Yahweh Shalom, and it means the Lord is peace. Or you'll see Yahweh Rofi, which means the Lord that heals. Or Yahweh Imkadesh means the Lord that sanctifies. Or Yahweh Sidkenu means the Lord is our righteousness. Or Yahweh Nisi means the Lord is my banner that goes over me. Or Yahweh Rohi means the Lord is my shepherd. Or Yahweh Shama means the Lord is there. So, what we're saying with this is, the more that you understand the name of God and the more you understand who God is, the more you will be able to hallow his name or set his name apart. So when you pray, go to pray, you start this way. My Father that is in heaven, thank you that I'm in relation. Thank you that you're my Father and I have direct access to you. And I want to thank you that there's no other name like your name. In fact, you are the healer God. And you are the righteous, the God that gives me righteousness. And you are the God that gives me peace. And you are the God that hovers over me as a banner. And you are the God that's almighty, because your name declares that this is who you are. Boy, that sounds a lot like praise, doesn't it?
Please join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of our message called Prayer and Fasting. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for our Straight Talk team tonight. On behalf of Pastor Mark and myself, thank you so much for listening. Please do join us again on the next Straight Talk as we finish up his message called Prayer and Fasting. Have a great night, and God bless.